Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 60, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Show me thy paths, O Lord, teach me thy perfect way. O guide me in thy truth divine, and lead me day by day. And what follows, Psalter 60, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Isaiah 64. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Isaiah 64. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence, as when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, and neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned, and those is continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou our potter, and we are all the work of thy hand. Be not wroth very sore, O Lord, and neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee, we are all thy people. Thy holy cities are a wilderness, Zion is a wilderness, Jerusalem a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house, where our fathers praised thee, is burnt up with fire, and all our present things are laid waste. O wilt thou refrain thyself for these things, O Lord? O wilt thou hold thy peace and afflict us very sore? O let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord, then we have heard the petitions of the prophet of old, and may it be granted that they may also be our petitions. Then the prophet has asked of thee, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, and that the mountains might flow away at thy presence. Then the prophet was given to declare that thou art the potter, and the people of Israel, they were the clay. To that end, may it please thee in this evening hour, as that heavenly potter, to work lovingly and mightily amongst us and our children, and that in thy free grace, that thou may pick those ruined lumps of clay up, that thou may place them upon the potter wheel of free and sovereign grace, and that thou may begin to form a vessel that may reflect thy image for thy honor and for thy glory. And where thou hast begun that work, wilt thou further that work, that that vessel may further be formed. And that is with the decrease of man, and then thy name shall increase. Lord, do it for thy honor and for thy glory. May we be humbled under all thy goodness, where thou grantest unto us and our children so many blessings above most of the people upon the face of the earth. Wilt thou remember the hungry? Wilt thou remember the suffering? Remember the persecuted? Remember the distressed? Remember the overwhelmed? All as a consequence of sin. And then the apostle of old has written to the church, and who maketh thee to differ? Lord, then there is nothing in us, but then it is yet thy great goodness that thou showerest so many blessings upon us. And may it then be the goodness of the Lord that we and our children may experience that godly sorrow that worketh the true repentance and the need to be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. The Sabbath day is already far spent, and thou know how it has been with each and every one of us. Thou knowest how it is in this evening hour in thy house, in the dwellings. May the prayers be multiplied that thou indeed may rend the heavens in this dark and evil time, that thou may do a great work amongst us, that many sons and daughters may be born in Zion, and that thy people may be led further in the mysteries of salvation. Bless the manifold means of grace to that end. Bless the labors in the church. Wilt thou help the consistory who is sufficient to these things? Bless the labors on the Sabbath day. Bless the labors during the week. Wilt thou remember and bless the catechism classes, the confession of faith class? Wilt thou grant a revival amongst us and our children? Wilt thou bless the house visitations? Wilt thou bless the family circles? Bless the instruction in the home. Bless our Christian school. Help the school board. Remember the administration, the staff. Grant traveling mercies. And wilt thou bless thy holy word to the hearts of young and old. In these dark and serious times, in this afternoon, we have heard of a flying roll with a law written upon the same, and that the curse would enter many places. That flying roll has come closer by renewal. May we be given to see it, and may we be found often on our knees. Wilt thou grant repentance unto thy church, and a crying unto thee, that in these solemn times, that in a special way, that thou may help us and our children, may our eyes be upon thee. May we be given to expect everything from thee alone, as the psalmist of old, where he was given to raise his eyes unto thee. Wilt thou remember the nations of the earth? Wilt thou remember our poor nation also, that has departed so far from thy word and from thy institutions, where the unborn, they are daily murdered, and sin is multiplying as never before. Under all thy solemn speaking, then so little acknowledgement, that thou art the King, that the Lord reigneth, then we commend unto thee our neighboring province, where there are those that are mourning, that are overwhelmed, that are distressed. Oh, may that people be given to hear thy voice. May we and our children also be given to hear thy speaking. And may there be a heart following after thee, and that there may be a turning unto thee. We commend unto thee our province, the premier, with those that stand at their side. Wilt thou also remember our community? May it please thee to work lovingly and mightily by thy Holy Spirit in the hearts of young and old. Remember the many outward needs. Wilt thou remember the sick and afflicted, the father in the hospital? Then by renewal we commend him unto thee for body and soul, with his dear wife and family. Wilt thou remember all our elderly ones? Remember our Bethesda, their residents, those that may lovingly care for them. Wilt thou uphold the mourning ones? Remember the burdens, the crosses. Remember those that are struggling with temptations and addictions. May they be given to cry unto thee, that they may be delivered while it can yet, and while it may yet, and to seek the pardoning of their sins. Wilt thou bless all the family circles. May love abound between husbands and wives, between parents and children. When it is different, wilt thou grant a turning. What is separated, bring it together. We commend unto thee all the prodigal sons and daughters that are wandering upon the earth under a strange religion. May it please thee to keep our children, our youth, and all of us under that old truth, and above all by thy Spirit, that that precious truth may be experienced. Then we shall love that truth. It is a truth that can set us and our children free. Wilt thou now remember us in this evening? We are so dependent upon thee for everything. Wilt thou grant Aaron's and hers among young and old? O wilt thou grant empty vessels those that are full of their religion and the world. Oh, may they be emptied in this evening, and all those empty vessels. May it please thee to be a surprising God, that the oil may begin to flow. Ah, that those empty vessels, that they may have something, that they may take home, to be given to rejoice over and meditate upon, then they shall be given to praise thee. Every good gift, every perfect gift cometh from above. O wilt thou then be a surprising God? And, O Lord, we have to confess by renewal that we absolutely have nothing to plead upon. And when there are those that in their mind that even think that they are still worthy, may it all be taken away in this evening. And that is poor sinners. Oh, it is so needful for the first time and by renewal that the Pharisee may become the publican with a simple prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, O Lord. That is the only hope for us and our dear children. And thou declareth in thy word that thou hast a multitude of mercies. Oh, may it please thee to pour out that mercy upon us and our children, that thy kingdom may come and that thy name may be glorified. Forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 355, the stanzas 1 and 2. All who with heart confiding depend on God alone, alike Zion's mount abiding, shall never be overthrown. And what follows, Psalter 355, the stanzas 1 and 2. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 24, the question and answer 62, 63, and 64. Question 62, but why cannot our good works be the whole or part of our righteousness before God? Answer, because that the righteousness which can be approved of before the tribunal of God must be absolutely perfect and in all respects conformable to the divine law, and also that our best works in this life are all imperfect and defiled with sin. Question 63, what do not our good works merit, which yet God will reward in this and in a future life? Answer, this reward is not of merit, but of grace. Question 64, but doth not this doctrine make men careless and profane? Answer, by no means. For it is impossible that those who are implanted into Christ by a true faith should not bring forth fruits of thankfulness. Lord's Day number 24, that speaks of justification and good works. Three thoughts in the first place. Good works completely excluded. Secondly, good works graciously rewarded. And thirdly, good works as a fruit of free grace. Justification and good works. Good works completely excluded. Number 62. Good works graciously rewarded. Number 63. And good works as a fruit of free grace. Number 64. Thus first, good works completely excluded. Beloved congregation, we have heard precious things declared and explained in Lord's Day number 23, how that a poor, a needy, a hell-worthy sinner may be completely forgiven of all their sins and be restored into that blessed communion, and to receive a right to eternal life. Then in that Lord's Day, then the instructors, that was their desire, that was their delight and joy, to extol free and sovereign grace. Then we can hear from our Heidelberg Catechism that those young men, that they have been led by the Spirit far into the mysteries of salvation. Thus let us never have the thought, young people, that we need to be old, that we need to be 40, 50, 60, to be led further in the steps of grace. Because Caspar Olivianus, he was 26 years old, and Zacharias Ursinus, He was 28 years old. And then the instructors, and that has a connection with this Lord's Day, then the instructors, they have declared that God, without any merit of mine, but only of mere grace, grants and imputes to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ. And upon that statement, we already had a question in Lord's Day number 26, a why. Are there also such souls in my midst? That of many questions, and that of also experienced in their heart that resistance, and the one experienced deeper than another, and not only resistance, but that enmity against free and sovereign grace, because I read in Romans 8 verse 7, that the carnal mind is enmity against God. Then it is remarkable when we think of free and sovereign grace, that in the state of rectitude, that Adam, he could have merited eternal life by perfect obedience. He could have, but he did not. And now with those cherubims in front of that tree of life, when it is now impossible that man in his natural state, in his pride, that he still wants to add something to grace. We have the same with the children of Israel. When they were traveling to the wilderness, then they were called upon and commanded to inherit that promised land. But because of their unbelief, then the Lord has commanded that they must wander in the wilderness. And then they have gathered an army together and tried to conquer that land in their own strength. Then we have already heard the question of the Arminian, a free willer, because the Arminian, he stresses the free will of man, and that man is still unable to do something concerning his salvation, and that the Arminian, that he makes faith as a work, that fallen human man, that he is unable to exercise that faith in his own strength. But then we have heard that faith is only a hand, and that the Spirit grants that hand and also enables the child to exercise that hand to receive what the Lord grants unto him. And now in our Lord's Day, we have three more questions, and I hope that there may be many amongst us that may be exercised with those questions, because they are deep questions, they are profound questions. Then we hear that the instructors, they had much knowledge of what lives in our heart, also when the Lord converts his people. And then in question 62, but why cannot our good works be the whole or part of our righteousness before God? Then in question 62, then we hear the Pharisees speak. Then we hear the rich young ruler that likes to receive credit for all that he may do. But why cannot our good works, thus That is a question against free and sovereign grace, to receive everything freely from the hand of the Lord, because what is declared in God's word, that is in opposition to all the strange religions of the world, because there they must do something. Also in the heathen world, they have an impression that something has to be done to satisfy their gods as a fruit of that innate knowledge. Then the Roman Catholic, oh, they speak of grace. They speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, but works need to be added. Oh, then we have already heard of the Arminian. And now also this Lord's Day, when it speaks of good works, we must make a separation, because otherwise we can become confused. Because in the part of gratitude, in Lord's Day number 34, there we also hear of good works, but that is in the way of sanctification, that is in the way of gratitude. But in this Lord's Day, when the instructors speak of good works, that is in relationship to justification, of course, they can never be separated, because they are both blessings which Christ has merited for his church and which are given by the Holy Spirit, but they must be distinguished. Thus in Lord's Day 24, following Lord's Day 23, when it speaks of the justification of an ungodly sinner, then the question is whether our good works, whether they can be the whole or part of our righteousness before God. Thus, congregation, let us not look down upon this question, but may I ask you, has that now become your question, whether our good works and what the instructors mean in Lord's Day number 34, then it is broadened out what good works are, but let us mention our religious duties, that we are separated from the world, that we are willing to sacrifice our time and our goods for the cause of the Lord, that we are given to deny ourselves, that we are a separate people. And now the question is, but why? Oh, the instructors are given to stress that our good works cannot be the whole or part of our righteousness before God. But the question is why? And then by renewal, has that become our question? Because by renewal, the instructors speak of our righteousness. The instructors are stressing that in our natural state, that we cannot stand before a holy and a righteous God. No, then the instructor is not asking whether we appear righteous before man, that in that respect we may have a blameless life, that is commendable, but that is not the question that the instructor is asking. We need to be righteous before God. We cannot appear as we are born. We cannot appear before the Lord in our sins. And now may he ask you whether that has really become a very important question in our life, that we have an impression of the righteousness of God, and that we have to appear before the Lord, and that the Lord seeth everything. And then the instructors, they are given to mention 2 points. Our good works to be the whole? Has that ever become the question and the exercises in our life? Ah, when the Lord begins by His Spirit, then we have much to do with the Lord, with all His attributes, but also with His righteousness, because we have heard in this afternoon of that flying roll, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the law of God to do them. And now when the Lord begins with His Spirit, then we have an impression, then our sins rise up against us, and then the law curses us, and then we hope with the Lord's help. Oh, we have an impression that we need to be righteous, and then that godly sorrow, as I read in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10, that is a sorrow that worketh a repentance not to be repented of. And then we are given to hope that we may become so holy that we may become well-pleasing to the Lord. Oh, that it may be the whole of our righteousness, and that the Lord may be satisfied, that we may be saved, that we may be reconciled, that at the end we may be with the Lord and praise Him forever. To be the whole, has that become our concern? How do we live with our sins? Do we try to push it in the background? Shall not change matters, congregation. They are all written in God's book, and the Lord demands from His creatures, because that demand of the covenant of works has been disannulled, can never be saved by our works. But that demand still stands. The Lord still demands perfect obedience. He demands His image back. To be the whole. Then the true child of God learns. They have hoped. How discouraged. And how disappointed. What a tears can be shed. What a tears are shed. Because people, if you have never wept tears over your sins, then the Lord has never begun. Because when we may learn that we have sinned against such a good doing and such a holy and righteous God, then we become a blessed mourner. But now that people learn more and more that their whole cannot be the righteousness of God, and then the question is, therefore the instructors, they have asked, are part of our righteousness before God, our repentance, our tears, all those beloveds of those daughters of Jerusalem, when they are now laid in the balance of God's justice, do they now add a little weight? Do they now have a little merit? When the sinner may become so unworthy and so guilty, may that now be a little part of our salvation. That is the question that the instructors are given to ask of our righteousness before God. There's the question. Oh, it can be that the Lord keeps us from sin, but the further uncovering, Ezekiel 8, dig deeper, son of man, and thou shalt find greater abomination. Thus, a question of that awful pride. Oh, that statement without any merit of mine. And then the instructors, then they have answered. He is in the question already answered. That our good works can be absolutely no part of the righteousness before God. An answer, because that the righteousness which can be approved of before the tribunal of God. That is now the exercise when the Lord works by His Holy Spirit that our life, our righteousness, our works, which can be approved of before the tribunal of God. That Pharisee in Luke 18, in the front of the table, he was in the front of the temple, he was more concerned what man thought of him than God. But when the Lord works before the tribunal of God, we have heard that expression already a few times in our catechism, young and old. Have we now become exercised with that tribunal? It is necessary that that taketh place here in the time, because if the case is not solved, if that righteousness is not satisfied, justice satisfied, then it shall be at the end, and then shall be forever and forever too late, which can be approved of before the tribunal of God. And there we have it. That is a blow to the pride of man. Any merit when it concerns justification must be absolutely perfect. And to further stress that perfection, and in all respects conformable to the divine law. Do you hear, congregation? Absolutely perfect. Our thoughts, our words, our deeds, our motives, the performing of everything we do, and also the end, must all be to the glory of God. One proud thought, that is enough to send us to hell. Thus absolutely perfect. And that is now what the Spirit teaches His people. The requirement, the perfect requirement of the law. And they learn more and more. They hoped in the beginning to become holier and holier. And if it is well, less sin and a greater sinner, and to further to wipe all man's merit away, and also that our best works. Let us mention our religious duties. Have you heard it, congregation? Out of Isaiah 64, there's a precious chapter. That first verse. May that be our prayer more and more in this dark and solemn time. That Thou wouldest rend the heavens, that Thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at Thy presence. But then the sixth verse, have you heard it? And have you now said, Lord, that is now me? Verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses, does not say our unrighteousnesses. That a sinner learns at the beginning, when they may see their sins before them, when they are convicted by the Spirit, they are given to weep. But now in the furtherance, then they are given to learn all our righteousnesses, our religious duties. Does not say it is not necessary. When the Lord works, then He shall grant those exercises. As beggars at the throne of grace, and then they are given to delight in the things of the Lord. They are given to choose for the Lord and His service. but they learn even their best works, their religious duties, their Bible reading, their prayers, one wandering thought, and it is sin in the sight of a holy and a righteous God. Thus, in all respects conformable to the divine law, and also that our best works in this life are all imperfect and defiled with sin. Have we learned it, congregation? Are we learning it by the first time and by renewal, that our best works, our religious duties, they have no part, can add no value, the balance of God's justice and the part of justification? And even if it was now possible, a child of God, has that now become your desire? If it was possible to live upon this world, to never commit one more sin, to grieve the Lord, to live perfectly, has that become our desire? Even if it was possible, would that save a sinner? What do you think, congregation? It was now possible that starting tomorrow morning, that we could live upon this earth perfectly, according to God's law, and not commit one sin. Would that solve the case before the tribunal of God? Then no, 2 points. Have you learned those points? Have you learned it experientially? Child of God, he needs to learn everything. Also concerning those 2 points, if it was now possible, what about the sins of the past? You would now have a man that has transgressed the law of the land, that has stolen, and that has only made his debt greater. And he came before the judge and he would say, "Judge, I promise starting tomorrow morning, I shall never add any debt to my debt." Then the judge would still say, "But what about that former debt?" That is what the Spirit teaches his people. And what else? Our original sin. Do you hear it, congregation? Free and sovereign grace. That is our only hope for us and our children. Oh, if the Lord now declared in his word that we must work out our own salvation, it would be forever lost. But why cannot our good works be the whole or part of our righteousness before God? That is a question that we need to become exercised with here in the time between the cradle and the grave. And boys and girls, may it be granted early that the Spirit may work in your young hearts. Our second thought, a good works graciously rewarded. And then we read in question 63, what? Do not our good works merit, which yet God will reward in this and in a future life? Thus the question, all our efforts, our religious duties, think it is a question that comes up in many minds, also in the mind of our youth, that all our efforts, separate from the world, our Bible reading, our prayers, coming to church, Is it now all in vain? Does it not count before the Lord? That is the question. That is asked, why do not our good works? And when we speak of good works, we have said a further explanation what good works truly are. That is only possible by grace, but also amongst us the question can arise, does it now make any difference whether I earnestly and seriously use the means of grace or not? What does your life tell? That is the answer. Can be the thought amongst us and our children that it does not make any difference that we do not see the value of the means of grace, and that the Lord has promised to bless his word to the ingathering of his church. Thus let us never think, congregation, that it does not matter how we live in God's word, what a blessings are promised for a life conformable even in an outward way according to God's word for this time. It is true that is too short for eternity, but let us always remember that the Lord has not only decreed the end, the saving of his church, but that he has also appointed the means thereto. Thus this question in 63, what? Then it is someone that is visibly upset. Then does it make no difference with all my seeking, my striving, my prayers, a crucifying of the flesh, that I do my best to follow the Lord, to please him? Does it now make no difference? And then the question is, what? Do not our good works merit, which yet God will reward in this and in a future life? And then the instructors, they appeal to the scriptures, because in the scriptures, then we read different times of good works. Already in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5, verse 16, so let your light shine before men that they may behold your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And in Titus, then the church is commanded to maintain good works. We read different times in the scriptures of a reward. We read 9 times in the Sermon on the Mount that word reward. And then the instructors, they are not given to deny that there is a reward, even in the scriptures. Then there are promised many temporal rewards for those that may be given to live according to this word. It is too short for eternity. Do we not every Lord's Day morning read the 2nd and the 5th commandment, where reward is promised even for boys and girls that may honor their father and mother? Do we not read of a Phinehas in Numbers 24, when a great sin was committed, that he has murdered them, and a special blessing for his family? Think of the kings of Israel when they were given to walk according to God's word. The Lord has promised, and that he has given a special blessing. Do we not read in Psalm 19, verse 11, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and keeping them is great reward? Do we not have the examples in Genesis 22, when an Abram was given to offer a son, that the Lord has promised by renewal, confirmed that special blessing? Do we not have the example of a Joseph who was stood strong, and where the Lord has made him second in command over the land of Egypt? Do we not read in Hebrews 6, verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, but not only here for the time. Has Paul not spoken in 1 Corinthians 15 of a different glory of the sun, the moon, and the stars? Oh, it is true for the people of God. It shall all be perfection, but there shall be a difference. Do we not read in Matthew 25 of that great judgment day when the angels shall separate the goats and the sheep, that they shall be judged according to their works? Ah, for the child of God, it shall be mentioned when they have visited the sick, clothed the naked, given a cup of water to the thirsty, that it shall be rewarded. Thus the instructors, when they ask this question, what do not our good works merit, which yet God will reward in this and in a future life? And then the answer, we could ask also the question, is it now wrong to seek the Lord that at the end we may go to heaven? What do you think, congregation? Is that now wrong? Oh, let me say it this way. Seek the Lord, whatever the reason. And when the Lord works by His Spirit, He shall teach us more. But do we not have the example of Moses? Hebrews 11, the verses 24 through 26. That choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of Egypt for a season, afore he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Thus Moses, he had a thought of the future. And now to be with that people of God, that there would be a recompense, there would be a reward. We even read of Jesus in Hebrews 12, verse 2, that for the joy that was set before him, that was his people, his black bride, that he endured the cross. Oh, it is true. When the Spirit works, when we become a true seeker, oh, then we think much of heaven and of hell. Because in heaven, that is where the Lord shall be and His people. Then we shall be busy with those things. But oh, when the Spirit instructs further, then it goes not in the first place about heaven, but it goes about the God of heaven. But congregation, if the blessedness of heaven, if that may now incite you to seek the Lord, oh, seek the Lord, however it may be, because we need to become a seeker and a finder. And now the answer, this reward is not of merit, but of grace. Have the example of one that has hired laborers in Matthew 20. Has hired one 6 o'clock in the morning. And the wage for a day, that was 1 penny. Of course, in Bible times, a penny could buy much more than now. And then at 9 o'clock, another one was hired. Wages were not spoken of. 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and also 5 o'clock in the afternoon, there was a man that was not hired. Thus he has also worked for that man. And then at 6 o'clock, Bible times, people were paid the day of their labors. And then we read that the one that started 6 o'clock, he received this penny that was agreed on. but the one that started 5 o'clock in the afternoon, he also received his penny. First man was not so happy. Then it is clear that that man that started 6 o'clock, he has worked for his wages. But that man that started 5 o'clock in the afternoon, that most of the penny, that was a reward. That is what the instructors are saying. This reward is not of merit, but it is of grace. Thus, question 63, that is more a question of a servant of a labor that he is working for reward. Ah, when the Lord works, then that people, they serve not the Lord for reward, but they serve him because of love. We could give the example of a family circle. Then boys and girls, then you do your best to help your parents, not for wages, but because it is your duty. But sometime a father and mother, when their children do their best, then they speak to one another, and then they say, let us give our children something extra special because of their diligence. We could give the example of a husband and wife. Then a wife does not marry a man to be paid, to be rewarded. What would a husband think? Let's say after a year they were blessed with a child, and at the end of the week, that wife would come with an invoice with everything she has done for her husband. Maybe the night watch is double time, and that at the end she said, husband, you owe me so much. What would such a husband think? No. A wife, she labors because of her duty and on account of love. That does not mean husbands. Because I read in Proverbs 31, verse 28, let the husband praise her. That does not mean husbands must not give to their wives special things. But it is not as payment, but it is in the way of reward. And that is what our instructors are stressing. This reward is not of merit, but of grace. Why does the Lord now reward his people? In the first place, we may say for encouragement, for the persecuted church, how often has been used that they may continue when they were given to consider that the Lord shall not forsake his people. And even when they die on the stake, that they shall receive a place in heaven, that their suffering shall be all over. What an encouragement it can be when many temptations, the wind of temptations, come upon them, when they are given to consider that the Lord has promised that he shall never forsake his people. Sometime the Lord grants his children a special reward that the world may see that it is a people that is truly blessed by the Lord, that they may become wholly jealous. Our third thought, good works as a fruit of free grace. Let us first sing of Psalter 2. The 5 stanzas. Blessed is he who loves God's precepts, who from sin restrains his feet. He who will not stand with sinners, he who shuns the scorner's seat. And what follows, Psalter 2, the 5 stanzas. justification and good works. Good works completely excluded. Good works graciously rewarded. And now thirdly, good works as a fruit of free grace. Question 64. But doth not this doctrine make men careless and profane? That word careless, that means to be thoughtless and irresponsible. The word profane, that refers more to be ungodly and worldly. But doth not this doctrine make men careless and profane? What is your life, congregation? How is it with this doctrine of free and sovereign grace? We cannot merit anything. Nothing can be added, shall be added, need be added. This all grace, a sovereign potter that picks up a ruined lump of clay. Then in this respect, how is it with your life? What does the community say concerning the truth of God's word, concerning the doctrines of free and sovereign grace, that we of our own will can never merit salvation? What testimony does your life give? Does it perhaps reflect this question, that this doctrine that makes us careless, irresponsible, that the thought is in our heart, does not make so much difference how we live, does not make so much difference whether I skip reading my Bible, whether I skip and I am tired, do not pray, does not really make any difference. It is grace. And if I am a chosen one, I shall get there, and that is true, congregation. But let me now ask, the doctrine of free and sovereign grace, how does it reflect in our life? How do other people see our life? Perhaps that is question that they are given to say, but you tell us you have the truth, but it seems that the doctrine of the Bible that makes you careless, maybe even living it out in the world, because we also ask whether it makes man not only careless. When we become careless, then we shall not be so careful. And then the next step is to become profane, worldly, and ungodly. Does our life reflect it, perhaps? These 2 points, that sometime even in the world they are astonished that you profess that we have the truth, and yet in your life that you have become careless and profane. But doth not this doctrine make men careless and profane? By no means. Thus, when we become careless and profane, that is not the fault of the Scriptures and what the Lord declares, but that is our fault. Everything can be misused, even medicine. If we take it too much or the wrong time, everything can be misused. Also the doctrine of free and sovereign grace. And of course, those careless and profane ones. They shall justify themselves, try to settle their conscience, that it is all grace, but young and old. What a misuse of the doctrines in the Scripture. How God is honoring when we with our baptized forehead, that for the world we are looked upon as careless ones, as profane ones, when we are exhorted to seek the Lord, early, young people and children in our youth, when it may be declared unto us law and gospel, when it may be held before us that the Lord gathers a church by word and by spirit, that the Lord uses and that he blesses the means, that it shall not return void unto him. And then the instructors, they did not say perhaps, maybe, but a very clear answer. When we become careless and profane, it is not the fault of God. It is not the fault of the truths that are declared in our Scriptures, but that we make a misuse of that doctrine, that we can live out the evil desires of our flesh. And now the instructors have answered, by no means, for it is impossible that those who are implanted into Christ by a true faith should not bring forth fruits of thankfulness. There you have a very clear answer. Because faith worketh by love. And now the doctrine of free and sovereign grace, oh, that humbles man to the lowest. God is glorified. And on account of that love, then it cannot be different than such a one that he desires to please the Lord. Ah, that wonder of grace only becomes greater in the life of a child of God, and then in the way of thankfulness, in the way of gratitude, because of that implanting into that vine, then they shall bring forth fruits of thankfulness. Lord's Day number 24, three questions that we do well to give heed to. Three questions that we must become exercised with. When the Lord works, when they are given to experience the wonderful things of the Lord, tell me, congregation, when a child of God may be given to look upon the cross, when Christ is hung on the cross, do we not read in Zechariah 12, verse 10, that they shall mourn for him when they look upon him whom they have pierced? Then it shall be with the psalmist of old, Psalm 116, verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits bestowed upon me? Do we not read in 2 Timothy 2, verse 19, oh, for those the foundation of the Lord stand assured, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that mention the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Do we not read in Isaiah 43, verse 21, this people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. Amen. Let us close. Lord, then according to our catechism, which thou wast given unto the church. Then we were called upon to consider three questions concerning free and sovereign grace. May thou grant unto us and our children that we may be exercised with those questions concerning the righteousness of God, concerning reward, and whether this doctrine makes man careless and profane, O Lord. Well, thou keep us under that all truth. May we be found oftentimes at thy throne of grace, begging thee for the work of thy Spirit, and that is in the beginning, but that is also in the further way. Thou wast given that we may commence in other week. Thou shalt fulfill all thy counsel, but that counsel is unknown unto us. And to that end we humbly ask thee, that thou may take us by heart and by hand, that thou may watch over us in the home, on the way, at work, at school. Well, thou remember our young people that are studying in places of higher learning. Well, thou keep them from all the temptations. Well, thou spare from harm and from danger. Well, thou keep from sin and temptation. Well, thou guide our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. Well, thou grant exercises concerning thy perfect righteousness, concerning that tribunal of God. Ah, Lord, may we more be given to beg, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down. Well, thou keep us from an unprepared, from an unexpected death. Well, thou grant strength for the labors which thou hast laid upon us. May we be given to do it with some joy. Well, thou grant health and strength to that end. A realization that we are so dependent upon thee. Lord, wilt thou now watch over us in this evening, bring safely to our dwellings. Wilt thou be the faithful keeper, Israel, that slumbers and sleepeth not, also in the night watches, that we may awake refreshed. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins, also of this day, in speaking and in hearing, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 438. And let us only sing the third stanza. God's law, a perfect whole, is saving to the soul. And every secret tries, his testimony sure, which ever shall endure, will make the simple wise. And what follows, 438, only the third stanza. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.